morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
A couple of things to tick off our calendar before we start talking about all things gardening, or at least as much as we can squeeze in the next 15 minutes. The Artovino's Winter Farmers Market opens today. The hours will be 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. each Saturday through April at Artovino's Farmers Market in Sunlen Park, New Mexico. And going on right at this very minute and getting ready to close down here shortly is a pomegranate fruit and plant sale that's happening at the Escarreta Park Pavilion, Denise.
Exactly. Well, earlier today we had a great workshop and a short course, if you will, on actually growing and cultivating pomegranates. And at this time, we're having a culinary tasting with the Paso Community College Culinary Arts Program, as well as local nurseries available with a plant and fruit sale. So that is definitely open and free to the public to go out there and check it out. You have a few minutes to go ahead and do that. So definitely you have the small shrubs that are available for purchase that are all grown in containers. And then we also have the fruit itself for sale if you're not interested in growing the plant and just eating the fruit. And then we also have the chefs from the EPCC Culinary School available to answer questions. And they're also doing a recipe tasting as well. So it's a lot of fun things and all different aspects of pomegranates. But, you know, we like to, our expertise actually lies in growing the pomegranates. And after that,
it's up to you.
It's up to the end consumer. But no, it's really a great event, and we're really excited about that. I think El Paso really has strong agricultural ties with our valleys where we have all these productions. But then we do have a high population urban residents that do have smaller lawns and spaces to grow. So I'm excited about being able to kind of connect the dots, if you will, and be able to bring our strong emphasis in the field out to the public and out to the end consumer. So it's really a great plant for this area.
Yeah, and it's very conducive to all types of soil, right, and to all sorts of changes in climate as well that we experience here. So,
well, I'd like to add, I went to the conference last year, and Dr. Iglesias, you know, he mentioned that pomegranates like bad soil and bad water.
So we got plenty of that.
This is a perfect area for that. And they are beautiful plants. Their blooms are beautiful. And if they can produce some fruit, that's even better.
And they don't get very big either.
No, you can certainly train them to be a manageable size for your area. And they can be a multi-stem shrub or a single-stem tree. I like the shrub look because it really fills up really quickly. And, of course, it depends on who you talk to, Dr. Iglesias or myself. He always says, pluck out the flowers the first couple of years. And I say, no, let them bloom because I see it as ornamental and the fruit is the bonus. And he sees it for production.
Gotcha.
That's true.
Well, you've got until 12 noon to head out to the Escarreta Park Pavilion there on Delta to pick up your plants or your fruit, your pomegranates. They are hot fruits nowadays. You can find pomegranate juice all over the place.
A lot of people are using pomegranates for decoration at this time of the year, so that's
right.
A nice marketing technique. And some of them are quite large. They're larger than a softball, and they're really very attractive in home decoration.
Can you really grow them that big here? Because, I mean, you've seen the ones that are sort of imported from other parts of the country,
right.
But really, can you grow them huge?
You can grow them huge, exactly. And that's really what we do is when we select the blooms and we kind of remove some of the extra blooms so that those nutrients can be concentrated into that one large fruit as opposed to a lot of smaller fruit.
So similar to other fruit trees, you want to sort of pluck out some
exactly
the excess.
If you're focusing on the fruit.
Oh.
And I do like them as decorations too, Bill. And they do shrink a little bit because they do lose that water, but they don't rot. And they can pretty much sit in a windowsill and they retain their color. So, yeah,
beautiful.
I'm with you on that. Good.
Well, we are starting to see temperatures cool off a little bit, even though this week we are seeing some really terrific fall weather. But pretty soon our first freeze date of the year will be upon us.
Right. November the 15th is the approximate date. Some people use the 12th, but it's just the average first frost is about this time of the year, and it's something to look forward to. The leaves will start to change, and it's kind of a signal that we need to gear up for winter thought processes for as all our gardens go.
Right, exactly. And because it's going to start cooling off, we do need to cut back on our water. We definitely do not need to fertilize at this time anything. But if you're going to start cutting back on your water, don't forget about your perennial trees and shrubs. Those guys will still need a drink throughout the entire cooler winter season. No matter how cold it gets, they will need some water. The intervals are going to be spaced out further and further apart depending on how cold it gets for how long. But definitely keep a water source nearby.
Well, another thing that comes with the colder temperatures is less pests. Yes.
Right, exactly. That's one sign of relief where you're naturally going to see that progression and those populations just dip down just because the insects really depend on those heat units and how hot it gets during the day to be able to reproduce and cycle that over. But it's really important to pick up around your trees and shrubs, and you don't want to leave too much leaf litter if it's not composted because the insects in different stages will overwinter as well. And it's not just bugs of the six-legged variety, too. You also have some diseases that will also want to overwinter as spores as well. So it's always good to tidy up and clean up around your garden so that you can prevent those outbreaks come the warmer weather.
Right. Actually, from experience, that really does help to clean up. Everybody wants to compost almost everything, but but I think we've learned that to get rid of a lot of that the last year's crop so that it doesn't contaminate the next year's crop.
Yeah, it's definitely a call that you have to make, too. If there's anything that looks diseased and dying in your plants, you need to physically remove that and throw it in the trash can. Right. There's no sense to try to cook them down in your compost bin at all, because you're only going to end up breeding either weed seeds or an insect population.
That's exactly right.
But if you have maybe some clean leaf litter, so to speak, right, from your trees that have lost their leaves, I usually like to sort of let the wind just sort of naturally collect them around some of the plants and some of the trees, and especially some of the perennials, because I think that sort of protective leaf cover sort of helps them from getting too cold when the weather gets too cold, and it keeps them from freezing down, maybe protecting the roots a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely acts as a blanket to be able to buffer those temperatures in there. And there's a lot of perennials that we have that look great in the summertime, but they do die back every winter. And one thing that we do recommend is that when they do lose their leaves, let those branches stay there until the following spring when they start greening up again. Then go ahead and trim that off, because all of that does act like insulation for your perennial beds.
And I think we've all seen, you know, some perennials that look just dead as a doornail in the winter. But then if you haven't cut them down, you will actually see new growth, depending on what kind of maybe winter we've had. You'll see new growth maybe out there on the tip somewhere. So that wood isn't necessarily dead. So that's another good reason not to cut them
right
back right away.
And the tendency is for people to want to cut them down in the wintertime just for appearance purposes. But we suggest that they leave them, and you'll have a bigger stalk, larger, longer stalk to begin with next spring. It's a good idea.
And one thing also we need to look at is also container-grown plants that people usually have in their patios as well. Those are definitely susceptible to losing a lot of water come the summertime, but also they don't have a protection, and they don't have that barrier as well when it's in the wintertime.
So true. Right. It's a fun time of the year because things are changing, and it's kind of like the springtime on the other side of the year. It's just a fun time to plan and look forward to changes. It's a real fun time of the year.
Well, you guys had some visitors at the Rose Garden, you guys being the master gardeners. You had some visitors last weekend at a Rose Social, and helped out, I'm sure, a lot of people with their Rose questions.
Right. Rose Garden is a real popular place this time of the year. We did have an open house last week. It was very successful, and we did a little social within the group, and then we had visitors come in and tried to answer their questions. It was a real fun time.
And it's really, even though the garden is closed at this time, Master Gardeners, that work that they've contributed throughout the years still continues to go on, even though the garden is closed. We're looking at really tightening up some things that we're doing out at the garden as well for the public's enjoyment. I think it's great to wander out there and look at the different kinds of roses, but if you're a novice rose grower, it's kind of difficult to identify which rose is what. And if you're not there on the garden days that Master Gardeners are there, it's kind of difficult. So we're working on some things to be able to make that even more of a user-friendly park for that.
Right.
And Master Gardeners are continuing doing all of their technical assistance out there with their – it's almost going to be deadheading time, or pruning time. And, we'll be able to – start 2014. Like we live in another season, I think.
Exactly. Gardeners tend to do that. But we will be doing some hard pruning starting in January. It usually takes us about 6 or 8 weeks. And we invite the public out. If you really want to learn how to prune, we'll be out there most Monday through Friday. And come out and learn some new techniques.
And we'll try to keep you updated as to maybe when some of those dates will be, and maybe you guys may have some sort of a pruning workshop. I know that you've had some in the past.
We've always done. And then we're also getting ready to have our new crop of Master Gardener interns joining us as well, because our class is winding down for the season, and the Master Gardener interns that I look every week and I see them, I say, that's a lot of information all at one time, but they're really excited to get out into the gardens and to apply what they've learned in the classroom out there. So you'll be able to see a lot of new friendly faces out there.
Well, since we are sort of in the other planting season of the year, you guys were talking a little bit before the show about soil samples, and maybe this is the time when maybe some of our listeners who are more interested in learning exactly what's in their soil and what would work best growing in their soil, maybe a soil test would be appropriate for them.
Yeah, definitely. We do recommend, the Extension Service does recommend a soil sample for homeowners to take once every 3 to 5 years. And that's really to give you a baseline knowledge of what's going on in your soil. The numbers, the report that you get back, that's definitely what I'm here for. Master Gardeners are here to help you interpret all of those numbers, even though there are some recommendations listed on the soil analysis sheet. But you do need that further explanation of what exactly is going on there. Bill and I were talking about people that just in general, we start seeing products on the shelves and we think, oh, it's time to fertilize with this and fertilize with that. And it almost becomes like just an automatic thing to do. But the purpose of that soil test is to give you that background knowledge to see what exactly that you have, and not just apply just because the season or those retailers are telling you it's time to apply. A lot of times we see people have an overabundance of nutrients in their soil. Right. And if they keep on adding fertilizer, they're keep on, you know, adding not just their money out into their backyard, but then that's also going to take other resources like water, because that plant's going to grow much more vigorously. And then it's also going to take more maintenance, because you're going to have to trim all that down, in this case of turf grass. But definitely it's good to know exactly what you have, so that you can start thinking about that holistic process that it does take to be able to be really not just a steward of the environment, but not wasting your time.
Right. The prices start at about $10 for the initial soil test, so that's not prohibitive. And the prices go up for more detailed analysis, but a $10 test is available.
And that's usually great for all homeowners to be able to do that, unless they have a specific problem and a specific issue that would take for more recommendations for us on that end. But it's just a very simple sample that you take. The Master Gardener Hotline, as well as the Extension Office, stocks the soil bags and the soil forms. So if anyone's interested in requesting that, we can certainly get those to you, as well as those instructions to take a good sample in your lawn.
And you can call the Texas AgriLife Extension at 860-2515 if you'd like that information. Again, 860-2515. And the Master Gardeners are taking your calls year-round with the helpline, right?
It tails off a lot this time of the year, but we will respond. If somebody calls, we will respond to the call and to the question.
And the hotline number is 566-1276, 566-1276. Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for listening today. We should be live next weekend, so make sure you have your questions ready. Thanks again for listening. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.